Good morning and welcome to the morning briefing for Monday, January 22nd, 2018. I'm your host, Eric Dane. Jake Hughes is your producer. And coming up on today's show, we're going to recap this weekend's Vetti Awards as we'll talk first to the founder of LifeFlip Media, Eric Mitchell, and then to the Academy of United States Veterans Chairman of the Board of Governors, H.W. Floyd. From what I understand, it was a high-visibility, high-speed event with some very VIP types in attendance, even beyond the celebrities we told you about last week. So we're going to get the perspective of a guest in Mitchell and then an organizer in Floyd of the event. But before we get to that, let's get to the Houston Hammer, the Texas Tornado, I think two nicknames is actually enough for one segment, so we'll stop there and welcome Jake Hughes to the studio. Never enough nicknames? Which would you prefer if you had to choose, the Houston Hammer or the Texas Tornado?
I like the Houston Hammer.
It's
a little more hometown.
Yeah, a little bit more localized. Lets people know where you're from. Texas is a big place. It's bigger than many countries.
Yeah.
Let's list the countries that it's bigger than. Well, it's bigger than Greece, Monaco. It's a long list. We'll go down it some other time. But you're listening to the Morning Briefing. Hope you had a good weekend. Mine was somewhat uneventful, just kind of recovering from my illness last week, still over the weekend. And what did we do on Saturday? I went out to like the playground with my son a little bit because the weather was actually kind of nice this weekend. And then Sunday, a little bit of shopping and that kind of thing. But overall, kind of a relaxed, not doing a whole lot weekend. And my wife doing preparations for our son's official birthday party. His birthday, of course, was now 9 days ago, but his party's in February because the 12th of January is it's a little bit too close to Christmas, so she likes separating it out a little bit. So that was about it. How about you?
What, this weekend?
Yeah.
I didn't do a whole much of anything. I played a lot of Diablo 3. I've become addicted to that game.
Yes. It's a good game, I've heard. Oh, I did watch the UFC and Bellator fights. Friend of the show, a man who's choked out both you and me in our newsroom out there, although we were able to tap out before we went unconscious. Shane Crutchton fought on the Bellator 192 card, and while he didn't win, very proud of him for stepping in there against a guy who is not just a top prospect, the top prospect in mixed martial arts. This young kid, 21, 22 years old, named Aaron Pico, hits really hard, and Shane's best chance to beat him was to get Pico down to the ground. Wasn't able to do that and took two brutal shots to the liver, and the second one just basically dropped him and he couldn't get up. If you've ever been punched in the liver before, it is an incredibly unpleasant feeling. So, Shane didn't work out the way he or us wanted it to this weekend, but he'll be back. He'll grow from this. He'll learn from it. It's what we do. And, he's a Marine who's faced a lot worse times than losing a professional fight on TV. So watch that. And then the UFC event was a fantastic one with two title fights of the two least appreciated champions, I think, in UFC history, maybe. Daniel Cormier wins again to defend the light heavyweight belt, and Stipe Miocic defends the heavyweight belt for a record third time. No one's ever defended it three times. He just did this weekend.
Nice.
And he was not the favorite in Vegas. The challenger was the favorite, but Stipe destroyed him. And what I love about him, he's a guy who I think veterans can get behind, because along with being the baddest man on the planet, the UFC heavyweight champion, he's a full-time firefighter in Cleveland, Ohio.
Really?
Yeah. Still works full-time as a firefighter and trains to fight. Like, being the heavyweight champion of the world is like a hobby to him. His career is firefighter.
Well, if I understand it right, being a firefighter, a lot of the time is spent working out. Because you do your training and stuff, and you always keep your skills sharp. But a lot of it is maintaining that physical ability to pull people out of burning buildings.
A lot of training, a lot of physical ability training. If you've ever been through, every sailor is a firefighter. So when you go through boot camp in the Navy, you learn how to be a firefighter. You learn what different agents you use to extinguish certain types of fire. So that's another thing where I think Navy guys could really get behind Stipe. Understand if you've ever been through a firefighting trainer, which have these towers that you have to go up to the top of and all the rest of it, it's exhausting stuff. It's a hard workout. So I think his job probably does help more than hinder his career, especially if you compared it to like if he was an accountant for the city of Cleveland, Ohio, all right, that job may not be much of a help to him being a fighter, but the fact that he's a firefighter and a heavyweight champion and really dominated the other guy, won every round, I thought, some of them probably by 2 points, but what are you going to do? The judges gave it to him. It was a good fight. And that was really the highlight of my weekend, although my cable company has some answering to do, because as I tried to answer it through the cable company, or tried to order it, I should say, no dice, call them, call their customer service, nothing. Try to order it through their website. Sorry, there was an order an error processing your order. Nothing worked. So what I ended up doing was realizing, like, aha, I have the UFC app on my Xbox, ordered it through there, popped it on. And that was not what I liked. I missed most of the first fight because I waited until the last minute to order it, not thinking it would be a problem, but it was. You know, waiting till the last minute can be a bad thing, Jake, when it comes to adding things to your military record. If you do it at the last minute, you may not get it on there. In fact, the highest award I've ever received, I've technically never received because it's not on my DD-214. I got it. They sent it to me in the mail. I was already out of the Navy by the time I got this thing because it was awarded to me at the very end of my career, and it had to go through a bunch of levels to get approved. Then it got sent to me in the mail. It arrived at my house. I was like, oh, look at that, with a nice little letter and everything. I haven't added it in there, so I don't add it into my bio because it's not officially on my DD-214. And until I locate all the paperwork for it and get it properly done through the VFW, the American Legion, there are various groups that can help you out with doing that, I'm not going to tell anybody that I have it. If someone asks, I'll be like, yeah, they awarded it to me. It's not on my DD-214. I do have pictures of an admiral pinning it on me and all sorts of stuff like that. I am in civilian clothes because, as I said, I was already out of the Navy. But I don't put it in my official bio or anything like that. I'll tell you this. The top enlisted leader of 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines, he probably should have taken a page out of my book and not put something in there that apparently he felt he got, but that doesn't make any sense. His name is Sergeant Major Kenneth Lavelle III, and he's been removed from the post as the Infantry Battalion Sergeant Major due to a loss of confidence, according to a spokesman for 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force. Here's what he did, basically. He put on his record 3 of the Combat Action Ribbon. So the Combat Action Ribbon for the Navy and Marine Corps is the sign that you have been in combat. And it's very specific. It's much more like, I'm eligible for the Combat Action Badge through the U.S. Army. You know what that is, yeah. Of course, for non-infantry people who are in the vicinity even of combat, basically. I'm not eligible for the Combat Action Ribbon under the Navy and Marine Corps regulations. He has 3 on his record. Here's the problem with that. If you are in combat in Afghanistan 30 times, how many times do you think you get that combat action ribbon?
Just once?
Just once. How about if those 30 times are broken up over 10 different deployments, an average of 3 times a deployment?
Still just once?
Still just once. Huh. You can only get it once per theater. So he had 1 for Iraq, 1 for Afghanistan, and 1 for... nobody really knows.
Yeah.
Something that he says happened in the late 90s that they're like, dude, your service record doesn't say anything about that. It's very odd to me that someone would do that, especially someone who you would think would know better. I mean, this is a sergeant major in the Marine Corps adding something to his record that should not be there. There was no third combat instance, unless he's talking about Somalia. But if he was in Somalia, guess what? It would be on his record, and they'd be like, all right, cool, Marine, you were there, you got this. Nope, not on his record. So very interesting thing. This guy enlisted in 93, deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, but he said that during 2 Marine Expeditionary deployments to the Mediterranean in the late 1990s, he was awarded it for something. Again, what? What would that be? I mean, the Battle of Mogadishu, what year was that? Wasn't that like
92 or
93,
something?
93, 92, yeah. Something like that. It was shortly after the Gulf War. So, yeah, it doesn't really make sense. He claimed to have deployed to Kosovo in support of Operation Joint Guardian and to Lebanon in support of the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. That's been removed from his bio now, so apparently he never did those things. Also claimed to have been the honor graduate, according to a Military Times report, of his scout sniper school, and in fact was not. The honor graduate was somebody else. They actually list his name in the story. Then Corporal Aaron Pine, Marine, who died in 2005 following an honorable discharge from the Marine Corps. So a lot of weird things going on there, and that's one of those, like, how did nobody find this until he was already a sergeant major? If you see three combat action ribbons in the Marine Corps, that's not a red flag. That's a, whoa, what's all that about? And he would have had to have answered questions, I would imagine, to a number of people who apparently bought off on whatever his story was.
Yeah, when you've been in, I think when you've been in long enough to like that, people tend to stop asking questions. And then we don't know when stuff was added. Like, it could have been recently added, and he's just trying to make command sergeant major.
That could be true. I mean, you never know what's going on in someone's head, but in this case, you know that it's something that was not very smart and not very good. Also not very good, this government shutdown, of course,
oh,
I'm sure.
Lord.
Have you heard about this?
I think I saw it mentioned once or twice.
So there are arguments, of course, as to who's at fault. Basically, the budget not being passed has caused a stalemate where no one's getting paid, including the military. Now, I hear that, you know, the military's not being paid. Well, their next payday isn't for another 9 days. They're going to be paid. If this goes on for, let's say it's third day now, if you add 9 more days, if it goes on for 12 days, I would be very surprised. Very surprised. I'd be kind of surprised if we come back tomorrow and this is still going on, honestly. Although I'm a little bit surprised that it's still going on today because they were working on it over the weekend. Although when you looked at what people were saying of what time they started working on it on Sunday, you were like, okay, maybe they're not going to get that done. Today, they're from what I understand, a lot of them are already working on it. You know, the military is going to be paid. That they're not just going to be like, well, sorry, you don't get any money. Not the way that it works. You just yawned. You turned away from the microphone and yawned, and it passed over to me.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
No, there's nothing you can do about it. It's one of those weird things. So, you know, I keep hearing that, you know, the military's not being paid, and the military people that I know on active duty, most of them, with the exception of a couple people who are, the sky is always falling in their world from what I see. The majority of them are like, you know what, if it's still going on 9 days from now, then we won't get paid. Other than that, let's not worry about it. It shouldn't be too much of a big deal. The issue is more with the services available to families, Fleet and Family Support Center, things like that. AFN, there's a big one. Of course, a place that I worked for, and I believe you worked for as well, right? When
yep.
you were over there in, was it when you were in Korea? When
Korea.
You worked for AFN? There you go. AFN, for those who are not familiar with it, of course, if you're listening to this show, there's a very good chance that you are. It's the American Forces Network, part of Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Essentially, it's the TV and radio that is provided to our service members stationed overseas, whether they're deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan or they are stationed in Italy, Korea, Japan, wherever. It allows them to watch, you know, essentially TV from back home for free. The government doesn't pay anything for it. Now, that's why I think it's kind of odd that it's not airing over there, because the government doesn't pay anything for it. And the only thing I can think is that the civilian workers who work at Armed Forces Radio and Television Service headquarters, which is out in California, Riverside, California, I believe, that them being off basically on furlough, essentially not being allowed to come in and work because they're not getting paid, so they're not going to be working. It feels like maybe because they're gone that now they had to shut down AFN because they don't have the support system there to keep it operating. But then there's a whole bunch of active duty people who are there. Like, why not have them keep doing it? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, I guess, is what I'm saying, that it's shut down. It
yeah.
seems like, and it's also primarily at this point automated. There's not a lot of human interaction with it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how it was for you over in, was it Iceland, Keflavik?
What for? Oh, I worked for a Naval Media Center in Iceland. AFN was barely a thing at that point.
But was it Guam then?
Broadcasting detachments? No. Italy, Greece. Those were AFN detachments.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Wherever you worked. I don't know how it was for y'all, but for me in Korea, there were a whole lot of civilians in the process. Like, most of our engineers and the senior people that were making decisions were civilians.
Oh, at your detachment there, you mean?
No, at AFN Korea headquarters.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a lot of that.
I don't know.
AFN South. But again, I don't think If I were to go back, I'd really have to think about what everybody did. I don't think that if you removed every civilian person from, let's say, AFN South in Vicenza, which covers the southern half of Europe and the northern parts of Africa, basically, if you were to remove every civilian from their post there, I don't understand how that would cause you to have to shut down all programming. I just don't. It's almost all automated now. You have civilians who do things, but you also have military people who work in those same lanes. Like, there are plenty of engineers out there. I don't get why, especially since essentially it doesn't cost the military anything to purchase that programming. I guess it does to operate the equipment or something like that, to pay the power bill. I don't know, but it seems silly, and it seems, it was very bad timing for those who are fans of any of the four football teams who played yesterday. They apparently didn't get to see their teams play. Now, there was a way apparently around it by watching on the NFL's like the season pass thing or whatever that they have. However, while I saw that, I used to have the NFL season pass they have through DirecTV. It didn't include playoff games. Once playoff games started, you had to watch on network television. You couldn't watch the season pass. So I don't know about that. But all I know is that this shutdown caused that to happen. And it's caused a lot of consternation and a lot of, look what they're doing to the military. No, look what they're doing to the military.
You ever feel like we're opinion. Like pawns in a game?
Oh, every day. You know, when I was in the military. Now, yeah. Not so much. But then I would often see, and still see, people who often, you know, for their own devices, talk about the fact that they're a veteran, or that the veterans need to be taken care of, the military needs to be taken care of, because look at what the Republicans are doing, or look at what the Democrats are doing. I have my own ideas as far as to who's responsible for this.
And yeah, and there's two competing hashtags. There's the Trump shutdown, and there's the Schumer shutdown.
Yeah.
So it's like everyone's blaming everyone else.
I'm shocked by that. I thought everybody would come together and try to figure out a solution.
You're a funny guy.
Yeah, I know. That's why they pay me the big bucks. So we have that story, of course, ongoing. And if you go to connectingvets.com, we have a couple interesting stories on it, including how a military shutdown will, quote, uproot military and veteran education benefits. And what does that story say? Well, it basically says that tuition assistance is a DOD benefit for service members, but veterans won't be impacted. So basically, if you're on active duty and going to school, your tuition assistance could be affected by this again, if it continues on particularly. So that's something that you'll have to keep an eye on if you're in uniform. But veterans, after the shutdown in 2013, which, my God, Jake, have so many people forgotten about the last time that this happened.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this has never happened before. This is, look at this. And that's another thing where you hear that competing narrative, like, look what happened under Trump. Oh, God, this never happened before. It happened 4 years ago, man. What are you talking about? Like, this fairly recently this happened. The memory of some people is very, very short.
Yeah. I was actually affected by the last shutdown. I was supposed to go to a school when I was in the Army, and I couldn't go because there was no funding for my trip there. Mm. So I know how it can affect troops.
Yeah, it certainly can. I mean, it's going to affect them in some ways, and it's more the outside aspects. I mean, listen, if you are in the active duty military, you're going to have a place to live. They're going to feed you. There you go. I mean, your pay. If it's delayed a couple of days, that stinks. It absolutely does. If you got a big bill that you need to pay, if you time everything very closely, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, that can be a big problem. They're going to get paid eventually. They're not just going to be, no, we're not going to give you the money for this stuff. No, they're going to give them the full amount.
They'll get back pay.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and here we go. You know what? I just saw a story. So I apparently was misinformed yesterday because something new came out. AFN did broadcast the NFL's championship games despite the shutdown. So Defense Department officials reversed course Sunday morning, announced they partially restored operations at the AFN network, which was shattered Saturday because of the government shutdown. Statement, the Pentagon spokeswoman has the same name as the president of the UFC, Dana White. So department officials determined the operational necessity of television and radio broadcast constitutes them as essential activities, which makes sense. That's what AFN is actually there for. You see, while those stationed overseas like it because they get to watch new episodes of their favorite TV shows or watch live sporting events, the actual purpose of AFN, radio and TV, is command information.
Exactly.
That's when you work at AFN, people would ask me, like, oh, did you get to, like, do stuff with the TV shows? Like, you know, NCIS or whatever? No. Nothing like that. We created the command information that went in between the shows. Or I did the morning radio show in, well, I did the afternoon radio show in Keflavik, Iceland, morning radio show in Sigonella, Sicily, morning radio show in Suda Bay, Crete. And what we did was focused on what was happening around the base. We were able to provide people emergency information during times when the bases were shut down due to protests, which happened quite a bit in Italy and Greece in particular. Never in Iceland. The Icelanders were, they were busy working, I think, is what the deal was with them. But in Greece, the funniest thing was in Greece, which is a small Suda Bay. It's a small naval installation, you know, maybe like 1,000 sailors or something like that, a little bit more. 1,000 sailors or so at an airstrip, and there's a port separate from it, but it's mostly an air station that they share with the Greek military. And a lot of Greeks work on the base. They outnumber the Americans on the base, I believe. It was part of their contract that they had permission like one day a month or one day every other month, I forget which it was, to protest. Like, they didn't have to come into work as long as they were protesting. So they would be outside the gate like protesting, Americans go home. Literally to the people that paid their salaries every 2 weeks. It was a very, very strange place. But I learned that shortly after I got there when the gas delivery trucks stopped driving, which meant no gas at the gas stations, which meant you couldn't get to work, which meant we shut things down over there due to that. And then there was a strike at the port. So my car sat at the port for an extra month and a half while I was waiting to get it there. Oh yeah, Greece is this was right around the time they started having significant financial problems. And boy, did I really understand it and kind of get the understanding of why. Then riots started breaking out there and all sorts of other things. And yeah, it was not good. So when things like that happened, AFN, we had to have people there on the air live to be able to talk to our people that were stuck out in town. Like when I wasn't able to get into work, somebody had to be able to tell them, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is when we'll be back open. Here is the current situation going on. So that's the primary purpose of AFN. So it seems like the Department of Defense should have known that ahead of time, since everyone they have that works at AFN knows that. But yeah, Department of Defense informed that AFN has been restored in most places. So they did have the games on yesterday. Yeah, see, I went to bed early. I didn't even see this, but they got that to them, which is a good thing because that is a big deal, man. You want to have your ability to watch your football games. You want to have your ability to watch your baseball games. That was the best thing about AFN, really, was the sports coverage and getting, well, football was kind of a problem because you'd only get a certain number of games each week. You didn't get to watch every game like you can if you get the DirecTV thing now, or you don't get to watch every game if you get the Red Zone channel. Like AFN, you were limited to a specific number of games, and you had no choice in that, which would sometimes lead to problems for people trying to watch them online, legally or illegally, which would put you onto websites that would get you viruses and all sorts of stuff like that. But I remember UFC actually had, for a time, I don't know if they still do, their pay-per-views aired for free on AFN. So it'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning in Sicily or wherever. And I'd wake up and at midnight have a bunch of people come over and we'd start watching the UFC as the sun started coming up, essentially. But yeah, sports was always a big part of AFN. So glad to hear that they got that straightened out. But yeah, that was another thing, Jake, where people were, you know, oh, look what they're doing to the military. Of course, you have both sides saying that it was the other side's fault.
Right.
We're just sitting here in the middle going, well, how about you dummies get together and try to work this out?
Yeah, isn't the whole point of our system of government supposed to be compromise?
It is supposed to be a compromise thing, although the issue that some people believe this is over, which comes to illegal immigration, that's one that one side doesn't seem like they're going to budge on and the other side doesn't seem like they are too. So we'll see exactly what happens with that. It's created a very interesting narrative, and we'll see how long it continues. Again, I would be kind of surprised if it's still going on tomorrow when we get in. I won't be totally shocked. I'll be kind of surprised. There are things out there that are shocking and surprising. Here's one. Taliban attack on an Afghan hotel. 13 hours it lasted, 18 dead. It's a hotel where a lot of international dignitaries stay and foreign workers and visitors. It seems to have been targeted by the Taliban. So for those who have said, like, oh, we defeated the Taliban, not really. The Taliban is more an ideology. Yes, it kind of has a central command structure. Although, has anybody seen Mullah Omar lately?
Nope.
I haven't heard hide nor hair of that dude. Come on, the one-eyed mullah, he's supposed to be out there, supposedly. No one even knows if that dude's real. The Taliban, though, very real, and as was this attack on the Afghan hotel. Again, 13-hour-long attack and 18 dead in that attack. So our thoughts go out to the families of them. Mostly foreigners is what we're reading, so we'll see if there are any Americans included on that. Haven't seen anything on that yet. China says U.S. warship violated sovereignty. Okay.
Meh.
Morning Briefing. Eric Dame, Jake Hughes. Back after this with Eric Mitchell of LifeLit Media.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing. It's Monday, January 22nd, 2018. And you know what? As far as Mondays go, this one doesn't feel too bad because this is the warmest Monday I can remember in the last few months, man. Oh, we've been stuck in a deep freeze around most of this country, and it seems like we're finally coming out of it, for the most part. It's going to get a little chillier here over the next few days, but then next weekend, supposed to be nicer again. I actually considered riding my Harley-Davidson into work today, and then I realized that I really wanted a cup of coffee during the drive-in, so I, you know, decided against that. But soon, baby, soon, I'll be on two wheels, flying down the road on my way into the ConnectingVets.com studios. Hey, speaking of ConnectingVets.com, have you checked out the website? Well, you're going to want to later on today. Our brand new website launches tonight. If you could check it out tonight. You could go there tomorrow morning. But our brand new website will be launching. All the same great stuff that you've come to expect from us. Maybe a little bit more focused into some specific categories, but a lot of great content is going to be available at the new site, just as it was at the old site. That site, again, is ConnectingVets.com. And if you're looking to keep up to date on the latest and greatest in the veteran community, you need to follow Connecting Vets on social media. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. That's us, and that's the way for you to keep an idea of what we are doing, because everything we do aims to help you, the veteran and veteran family communities out there. Speaking of veterans, we're about to be joined by one right now. He is a Marine Corps veteran. He's appeared on the show recently. How recently? Well, last Friday, he was talking about the Vetties, which were coming up this weekend. Well, now they've happened, and we want to find out exactly how everything went over there. Please welcome back Eric Mitchell, founder and CEO of LifeLit Media, to the show. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. So, as I mentioned, you were at the Vetties this weekend. We talked about it a little bit, well, a lot of it, actually, on Friday. How did it go? How did everything pan out over at the Vetties as a guest of the event?
You know, it was an amazing event, and if anybody who listened to the show on Friday, we remember HW was talking about the hidden guests that were coming. It turned out it was the Honorable General Kelly from the Chief of Staff of the White House and the Secretary of the VA, both were the honored guests that ended up being surprise guests to show up. So it was pretty cool to have those two in attendance. It really caused an extra vibe, especially having General Kelly there with all the Marines around. You know how we get, you know, Mattis and Kelly seem to be like the, you know, the brat pack of for the Marine Corps. So we get excited with our owner around. It was an amazing event to see that many veterans all dressed up and patriots all dressed up walking the red carpet with, you know, it was a beautiful event. I can't say enough of how exciting it was.
You know, it's one of those things where it seemed like every veteran who's of any note in the Washington, D.C. area was there. And then tons came in from all around the country. Of course, we had celebrities there, as we talked about last week. And I understand you got to hang out with a couple of them and get to know a few of them. So what were your impressions of some of those big names that we talked about last week? Like, well, let's start off with Montel Williams. I know he's Marine Corps and Navy veteran. What was it like getting to meet Montel and find out more about his story?
You know, Montel Williams blew me away. I mean, growing up, we only got to watch his TV show. I followed the man, respect him as a veteran. He got up and fired the crowd up. And it was perfect because he brought up to the attention of the fact of there are so many shows that are, you know, last night, Sunday, there was another award show, the weekend before an award show. And he's like, it's very odd that we have all of these amazing Americans in this one room, veterans, and we don't have a single stream of this being live, like, you know, small problem. So yeah. He put it as his personal promise to make sure next year's Vetties, the fourth annual, will be live, will be on national TV. And he was, I mean, he fired the crowd up because he's a no-nonsense guy. He looked right at the secretary of the VA and, you know, had some strongly, you know, very professional, but very strong words for him that we need to make a difference. And it was amazing. It's just, there's not many events across the country that we can gather over 500 veterans into one room.
Yeah.
And it's the who's who. I mean, Colton Smith. I mean, the list goes on and on. But, I mean, it was amazing meeting Montel. Montel is an amazing American, and his mission that he's taking forth to help veterans is outstanding.
You know, and his push to get it on to national TV next year for the fourth annual Vetties, of course, that would mean this was the third. And we're speaking with Eric Mitchell, founder and CEO of LifeFlip Media, who was in attendance at the Vetties this past weekend. I think that's a big and a good thing because, honestly, you know, the Screen Actors Guild Awards were this weekend and those were televised and there's media coverage all about it. And I can't think of a group of people, particularly right now with all the things that have come out about what's going on in Hollywood, I can't think of a group of people that I'd like to see given awards and put on television less right now. Whereas in the veteran community with the Vetties, really some fantastic work being awarded out there and work that helps people more than just entertains people. I think it's more important, the Vetty Awards, yet in this culture that we live in today, you can find any number of award shows giving millionaires little statues for pretending to be somebody, but try to find the broadcast nationally of the veteran awards of people saving the lives of their fellow veterans and Americans. Good luck. You know, you had to go to the Facebook page for the actual event to actually check it out. So I think that is huge. I mean, did he give any idea of exactly how he's going to do that? Or is that kind of what the next year is about, figuring out how and what platform it's going to be on?
He just said that he was going to use his network, his connections, and if he had to, his own money to make it happen, because this is what our country needs. As the Vetties, the third annual, what they put together was basically, it was built around unity, right?
Right.
Not left or right, but that, I mean, and we know that, both you and I, you know, with our service, we understand that how tight our community is. So it was, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm not going to question that man, because he told the story about his health and how he went and figured, you know, he got together with a bunch of scientists to want to make this drug. I forget the name of it. Forgive me. It's early here on the West Coast. but he got it and he looked right at the VA and said, it's past third phase. It's FDA approval. We need to get this in every, you know, soldier, Marine, sailor's hand that we can get out there. And he just struck me as a person who told me, you know, told the whole audience when he retired from doing TV, he was told within 3 years he'll be wheelchair bound. And he's turning 60 later this year, and he's never felt better.
Right, he's out snowboarding. We've talked to him about that. He talked to our own Phil Briggs about how much he loves snowboarding and how that's kind of therapeutic for him. And also marijuana. That's another big thing that he was one of the earliest proponents of, looking into the research for medical marijuana for veterans. So, yeah, very interesting guy. Now, of course, he wasn't the only celebrity there. One of my favorites, Shora Agdishloo, who you weren't really familiar with before you got there. But I know I saw a message from you that I got after you were saying that you'd be available today, saying, wow, she was pretty awesome. So really, overall, all those TV stars that were playing SEALs on TV that were standing next to actual SEALs, like your clients, like Eli Crane. How was the interaction with the military and the celebrity culture overall?
You know, it was awesome. The celebrities were very open to hanging out with all of us. Matt Barr is one of the actors who plays a SEAL on TV and got to hang out with Eli Crane, a bottle breacher. And Saul DeFranco, who runs Battlegrounds Coffee, both those deals I just mentioned were on SEAL Team 3. Both have Chris Kyle as a boss. And it was pretty funny to see those guys act. They loved it. It was funny to see that SEALs go talk to them and how the actors were like, oh, my God, like, you're the real deal. and a lot of good interaction. And oh my goodness, you know, that actress was awesome. I didn't really know who she was, and then I heard her voice, and I was like, okay, I watched The Punisher and all that stuff. So I was like, you're awesome. And it's a funny story, so I have to say this real fast. So Mark Rockefeller, a local D.C. veteran, is the CEO of Street Shares and also a, you know, Air Force guy. He brought his daughter as his date because he just had a newborn a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
His little daughter, 12 years old, and she walked up and told her, I saw you in House of Fog. I believe that's the House of Sand and Fog, right?
House of Sand and Fog. Yeah, she was Oscar-nominated for that. Yep.
Yes. She goes up and tells her about that in the movie Elizabeth. They end up start texting each other during the Vetties, and they're besties now. This little 12-year-old little girl. So it's hilarious. And it was cool to see how friendly and interactive they were with us. So I can't say enough of how great it was, you know, hanging out and, like, bumping into, you know, Anne Hesh at the bar.
Yeah.
Like, she's just sitting there, hey, can I get you a drink? She ended up buying pizza for everybody in the bar. She's like, I love this crowd because we're really, you know, we just want to take pictures. And we just all mingle together. And it was, to me, it was an amazing event just for the fact that you were able to do that. You know, I was honored to have a couple clients there, brought my beautiful wife. And it's just, it's fun to get dressed up. I never thought in my entire life that I could say I would walk a red carpet. Yet I did that. And more photos are coming out that we're releasing. We finally got some of them, so I'm excited to go through all of them. And I was flying yesterday. But yeah, it was overall, it was amazing. It was good to see it. I look forward to next year. So,
yeah. Well, you know, we're speaking with Eric Mitchell, founder and CEO of LifeLit Media, about the Vetties. And as you mentioned, it's very early where you are because you've now returned home to the West Coast. Eric lives in the Pacific Northwest, came out to D.C. for a few days for this event, you know, got out here and got to see the city a little bit and see the veteran crowd out here. And I think D.C. to veterans has kind of a negative reputation, I guess I could say. During your visit and everything that you got to check out here, I mean, what was your experience with D.C. and what you saw that veterans are doing here in our nation's capital? Did it change your opinion on what D.C. is all about now, or did it kind of reinforce some things that you may have thought before you head in?
I love that question. It's so loaded. I'm going to be funny here in a second. We landed Thursday, so we spent, after I was on air with you, we spent most of Friday being tourists. We ran into a D.C. march was going on. I forget what event it was, but there was Friday and Saturday, there were marches in D.C. Thank goodness we did it Friday. We were able to hit the National Archives. Everyone, I am a bit of a history nerd, a major history nerd, so D.C. for me is geekdom 5,000. So we did at the National Archives, a few other museums, which we were happy because Saturday they were shut down thanks to the government shutdown. They were not open. So it was great. The local veterans that I met in the community, it's great to see how and what they're doing and not realizing their mission. It's funny how still across the country and with Facebook, Twitter, and everything else, how I still didn't realize there were these other missions taking place. I see that we're all frustrated, and I think that's I'm positive. I'm happy that we're all frustrated, but it's good to see that the mission statement is there and the belief that service never ends is still going, and it's very strong in D.C. Everyone is very frustrated with the lack of these politicians to get things done, but the cool feature was staying at the Mayflower Hotel Friday afternoon, having some cocktails with clients. I look out the window and Saul DeFranco, Battlegrounds Coffee, goes, it's cool in D.C. They have those sidecar cop cars, the bike motorcycles, right? The sidecar ones. He's like, wow, one goes by, we look out the window, like 20 go by, and then a big SUV, and then the President of the United States goes cruising by with his motorcade just down Connecticut Avenue. And I was like, okay, that was totally cool if that just happened while I'm just sitting here on a Friday. But, you know, D.C. was cool for so many things, but meeting the veterans on the East Coast, this was well-attended event. It was really good to talk to those guys. I mean, especially H.W. Floyd, who you had on Friday. And I heard a rumor he's coming on today. Amazing, you know, what he put together for the Board of Governors. Just amazing group of folks working their butt off on a common mission. So it's pretty cool.
There absolutely are. And that's the thing that, you know, when people tell me, when they hear that I moved down to D.C. to work here at ConnectingVets.com, and they say, oh, why would you move to that place? You know, it's anti-military, all these people. Everyone thinks that there's either extreme right-wing or extreme left-wing people everywhere, and everything's just political and negative. But actually, there is a lot of amazing work going on in the veteran community, which really is what the Vetties are about. And it's not just taking place in our nation's capital, but around the world. Although when you try to pick a place to celebrate what's happening in the veteran community, those helping out others, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better place to do it than Washington, D.C. And it certainly sounds like the Vetties were quite an interesting time for all those in attendance, including, as you said, Mark Rockefeller, Eli Crane, Sal DiFranco, three previous guests of this show and clients of yours, as well as H.W. Floyd, who, yes, will be joining us. I hear he's actually in the building now, so he'll be joining us in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. But we've been talking to Eric Mitchell of LifeFlip Media about his experience traveling all the way to the East Coast for the Vetties. Now, Eric, if people want to find out more about LifeFlip Media, more about you, more about your clients, if they have a business that they're interested in trying to put in contact with you, how can they go about doing that?
Find us on any of the social media website or go to www.lifeflipmedia.com. You can find us, same name, all over the place, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Reach out and find, and we will connect with you right away. We're looking to help as many veterans as we can. That's our goal with the businesses that we're doing. It's an exciting time. So please reach out. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, it is an absolutely exciting time. And one of the most exciting things in recent memory for the veteran community was this third annual Vetties Award ceremony, which took place this week. And we want to thank Eric Mitchell for getting up bright and early out in Oregon. So, yeah, 3 hours. It's now, let's see, how good am I at math? I think it's 2:30 in the morning Saturday where you are, or something like that, right?
No, it's actually late next week.
Oh, there you go. Late next week. So,
yeah. Don't ask a Marine to do math.
Hey, at least I didn't ask you to spell anything, brother. You gotta thank me for that.
I already have those moments live on Facebook this past weekend. But now it's 4:46 in the morning, 4:45,
4:48, 4:49, something like that. But we want to thank you so much for getting up so early with us and for filling us in on that stuff. And as we said, H.W. Floyd is going to join us next. But Eric, thank you very much, and go ahead and get back to sleep now, man. Have a good day.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to The Morning Briefing here on Entercom's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets, well, just about every day.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
Welcome back to The Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame, and I'm joined live in studio now by ConnectingVets.com ace reporter and VA expert, Jonathan Kopanger. How you doing today?
I think there should be a government shutdown every Monday morning just from my commute. Once I get here, they could go ahead and open up, because this was fabulous.
So we have our new website launching today, and I had some serious computer. It's ordered now, a new charger for my laptop. My laptop charger just time and everything. Laptop's on its last legs too, but the charger just stopped working, and then I was trying to fiddle with it. Finally got it to work yesterday afternoon, charged up the laptop. I had stuff to do in preparation for our new website launching today, so I was up kind of late last night doing that. Because of that, I got to sleep a little bit later than normal, so I set my alarm for a little bit later than normal, thinking like, well, I'll make it in on time. I'll be able to do it. I know what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And then I get on the road, and I get here earlier than usual because there was nobody on the road. So, yeah, a government shutdown when you work in a government-filled city like Washington, D.C. is, that's a big deal. You know, it certainly changed things. But one thing I wanted to ask you about in regards to this shutdown, which is something that Jake and I have talked about today. One, I said I would be surprised if it were still going on tomorrow morning. I think today is the day that they'll probably try to force getting something done. A lot of people thought this weekend it was going to happen. This looks so bad for all parties involved. I know they're all trying to blame. One side is blaming the other side. Other side is blaming that side. Nobody looks good in this.
I think they should be fined $100,000 every time they try to blame somebody. Because why don't we talk about what's happening to people instead of trying to put the blame? That just annoys me to no end.
Yeah, well, you know, that and the fact that there are politicians still getting paid, there aren't military members and veterans and people working at various veterans organizations like the VA. Of course, Jonathan is our VA subject matter expert because he used to work there. So is the VA shut down? Are the hospitals shut down? Are they operating essential only?
No, they have a two-year appropriation budget.
So like a generator.
Yeah, so they can pretty much run for about 2 years. Really about 95% of all VA staff will be at work today. Just a few people won't be there.
Lazy people.
Right?
Yeah. The 5%.
Those government lazy people. Yeah.
There was protests about them in New York a little while back, the 5%.
Really?
Yeah, I was just kidding, though. That was the 1%. It was a different thing.
But yeah, so everything should be going okay. There's a few things. I wrote an article last week. I don't know if they posted it yet, but there's a few things that will not be going. Appeals. The appeals process is shut down while this is going on. So you're not going to get any answers to any appeals. That's really the biggest thing that I could think of offhand that's going on. Some little plans they have going on, events may not happen. But for the most part, everything is going to happen.
Some of the people who have appeals that have been out for 10 plus years are probably sitting there going, oh, no, not another day. No,
another couple days of waiting. Yeah.
Like what's the difference, really? The shutdown affecting the military community, active duty, more than the veteran community.
Right.
Because the VA, still working. Mm-hmm. The GI Bill, still working.
Yep.
After the last time, which we were talking about this earlier, 5 years ago, this happened before. This has happened before, but so many people were, this is the first time this has ever happened. No, it's not even the first time it's happened this decade.
No.
Come on, pay attention, man. People have short memories out there. But the shutdown turned out did not affect the football games on AFN, which was
That's good. That's the most important thing, right?
Well, you had Sarah Huckabee Sanders tweeting out about, you know, the AFN thing because people were tweeting it at her positively, negatively, like, look what the Democrats did, or look what you Republicans did. Yeah. I mean, it's like it goes back and forth again. Everybody has their ideas of who's behind the government shutdown, but AFN was not working. And then the DOD realized, well, AFN is actually an essential program for commands because it allows you to get out command information. If there's an emergency, you need to be able to broadcast. You need to be broadcasting live to do that. So they started it back up, the TV stuff in particular. So that's good that the people got to watch the Patriots win yesterday and the Eagles. Ugh. I don't like either one of those teams. This is the worst Super Bowl ever. The two teams that outside of the division my team plays in, I like the least.
You can tell from the look on my face that I
give
so many poops to all of this.
Poop. My goodness. Language, Sailor. Stop it. So, it's good that they got that back up. Now, I wanted to ask you about this. There is now a list that I'm seeing that it looks like this came from American Grit through the Military Times of the top five naval bases.
Ooh.
Want to see what you think of this list. Okay. I have been to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I've been to 4 of the 5, only stationed at 1, though. So, number 1 on the list, starting from the top, is where they went.
Okay.
Naval Station Rota, Spain.
If no other reason, but you can go anywhere else from Rota. Fabulous. Yeah.
Yep. It is a great hub. You're at Western Europe. You're closer to the States than you are anywhere else that you're going to be stationed in Europe now that Iceland is closed. Although, as we talked about last week, it might be opening back up in some way, shape, or form. That's fascinating. And if it does, I think it should be on this list because it was my number one place that I was ever stationed at. Number 2, Naval Air Station Sigonella, Sicily. Now, I was stationed there for 2 years.
Yeah.
Has its positives.
Yeah.
Has its negatives.
I'm thinking just Italian food alone is going to like bump this up.
Well, and it's Sicilian food, which is a little bit different than what you're probably used to because
more tomatoey, less creamy, I think.
Certainly a lot less spicy than what we have here in the United States.
Right.
Like Italian food in the United States and Italian food in Italy are very different. But most of the Italian food in the States is more Neapolitan in origin from Naples because most of the immigrants that came over were from Naples, the Naples area. It's just a more populated area. A lot of Sicilians did come over to the Northeast, so there is some of that. But it's an interesting one. There are good things and bad things about Sigonella. I don't think I would put it in. I don't know, man.
Italian
maybe
food,
in the top
it's
five.
It's gonna bump it up.
Yeah,
it's
see, bump it up. Some really
that's interesting.
There.
Is when you talk about people who, you know, what's the best place to be stationed? It's never about the post itself. It's about what's around there.
And like, I picked Italy because of the food.
Right. Like if I had to rate my time in Korea, the bases I was on were horrible. I didn't like them at all. But the culture around it and the food and everything, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Jake's a video game guy in South Korea is basically ground zero for video games. I was going to say North Korea, not so much.
But that's all StarCraft and League of Legends that I don't like.
Oh, yeah. That's valid points, I think. I don't know.
So, just trust me on this one.
Number three, Naval Air Station Pensacola.
No.
See, that's the one I saw on this list. I was like, no, been there. Not a fan.
Not at all.
When I was in recruiting, that was, I think, just outside of our recruiting district. So we go there occasionally when we were in that area. Naval Base Pearl Harbor, Hawaii.
I've never been, but I'll take it.
But yeah, Hawaii, you know, and it's expensive. You're going to get decent cola when you're stationed out in Hawaii because it's so expensive. And then number five on the list, and this is, I think, of the two big naval bases, if you have to pick one to go to, if it's between Norfolk in San Diego, you're going San Diego. Naval Base Coronado, located just a short drive away from San Diego. So, yeah, that list is on there. They also, it looks like, have top five duty stations in the Marine Corps. My list would be a little bit different. Of course, my list would include a place that doesn't even exist anymore. Naval Air Station Keflavik, favorite duty station in 13 years, and honestly, wasn't even close. But interesting list there. Interesting show so far. H.W. Floyd of the Vetties coming up for a recap after this.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We're CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing. It's Monday, January 22nd, 2018. A little bit of a better feeling Monday than recent ones, isn't it? I think it's the warmth. I think the fact that when I was driving in this morning, it was already in the 50s. That has already improved my mood for today. You know what else improves my mood? Getting good news, information, entertainment, education, all that out there to the veteran community through Entercom's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day. And bringing you wonderful stories. If you go and look at the top five on our old website, which remains in place for another, 10 hours or so, I think it is, we've got fantastic stories, including one on a Native American veteran memorial that's coming in 2020, the COOL program, how that's helping service members get accredited, how the government shutdown will uproot military and vet education benefits. Well, it's actually more military education benefits than vet education benefits, but still. Our new podcast, Beer, Episode 2, with Home of the Brave Brewing Company, our own Matt Sainsing. He enjoys beer, and he enjoys talking about beer. He talked to the number one brew pub in Hawaii, Home of the Brave Brewing Company, the Brewseum. Yeah, he talked to those guys, and it's some pretty fascinating stuff. So you can go and check that out. You can also check out the story on the shutdown causing trouble for troops overseas watching NFL games, which, as we've talked about this morning, AFN was opened back up for business because they are mission essential, which you would have thought DOD would have known that ahead of time since they tell AFN that all the time, which I can tell you because I worked at AFN detachments in several places. Anyway, a lot going on around the world of veterans and a lot of it being covered at ConnectingVets.com. Follow us on social media. We are at ConnectingVets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you want to be kept up to date on the latest and greatest affecting you, the veteran community, a little click of your mouse, tap on your phone, and you will be all the better for it. One newsworthy event that took place this weekend, we've already been talking about quite a bit on the show this morning. I'm, of course, speaking of the Vetty Awards, and right now we have the chairman of the Board of Governors of the Academy of United States Veterans, a.k.a. the people who threw that big Vetty's party this weekend, Mr. H.W. Floyd joins us. Mr. Floyd, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing so great. Thank you for having me here with you.
So great. So then I'm guessing that things went off pretty well from your perspective. Now, we've already talked to Eric Mitchell about what it was like being a guest at the event. From the organizer's perspective, give the overall Vetties a grade from Saturday if you have to.
An overall grade. Well, it would be a little bit biased because from being a part, you know, from the building process to execution, you know,
right.
Notice every little detail. But I would definitely give us a solid A.
There you go.
Solid A.
Always room for improvement, but from everything I've heard and seen, because there's a lot of stuff going on around social media about the Vetties, sounds like it was a fantastic time. You have great awards being given out to wonderful people doing great work in the veteran community. You have veterans getting together with celebrities who are kind of playing a version of them almost on TV. Apparently, you have Anne Heche buying pizza for everybody at the bar.
Yeah.
It sounds like a wild time, man. So overall, I know that you were, of course, doing some work there as you're the chairman of the Board of Governors. But overall, give us what the experience of the Vetties was like from your perspective.
So I was pretty stressed out all day, you know, running around in the morning, making sure that everything was going the way it was supposed to, and making sure that, you know, everything was going to according to plan. And so I went up to my room and was chilling out, getting ready to go over my speech. And then when I walked downstairs, it didn't really hit me until I actually walked downstairs and entered the event, which is what we had been planning on the whole time. There's a black curtain and right outside of Will Call. We wanted, as soon as people walked through that black curtain, just to be punched in the face with a level of elegance and, you know, just the grace that we as veterans should know, be around. And it really did. Like, as soon as I walked in and I stepped onto the red carpet, because they were like, hey, you got to go do this interview with Fox 5. Okay. As soon as I walked in, it was like, boom, all these people, and the chandeliers were just glistening, and the red carpet just really popped, and people were taking pictures on the step and repeat. And it was just like, oh my God, where am I at? And I knew where I was supposed to be, and I had seen the setup. I helped set stuff up. And it really just, it hit me in the face, like, oh my God, like, it's here, this is it. So that was my, you know, initial experience right off the bat. It was what we had hoped for, and what I knew was coming was, oh my God, and it happened.
Now, two guests that you you were unable to announce due to security concerns and all that stuff too much in advance of the ceremony that you did have were White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly, as well as Secretary of the VA Dr. Shulkin.
Yes, sir.
What was it like having the two of them in there, and when did you actually know that they were going to be able to attend?
So I knew that they were going to be attending about, we initially spoke like a week out. Yeah. Is when we were, it was real serious. And then about Wednesday, they were confirmed. Mm. And so I first saw Secretary Shulkin there actually when he stepped on my shoe. So we were passing each other, and I just felt someone kind of like brush into me and like step on my foot. And I was like, oh, what? And then I just heard, oh, I'm so sorry about that. And I looked, and it was Secretary Shulkin. I was like, absolutely no problem. And then when I stepped into the cocktail reception, I was grabbed immediately, and they're like, you got to go meet someone. Like, okay, I don't know who. I've been hearing that all week. And then next thing I knew, I was standing in front of General Kelly.
There you go.
And, you know, and also as a Marine, you know, like that's a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was standing there speaking with him, and I didn't even realize I was speaking to him until we were like halfway through the conversation. And he just has this amazing, this presence, this aura. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my fiance about it. Like, I don't. The only way really to describe it is, you know, you're about a foot away from him in like a normal speaking distance, but he feels like he's eye to eye with you, like almost nose to nose. And you want to like kind of like lean back, like lean away, like we're too close, like I'm uncomfortable. But then you realize, no, we're normal. He just puts off this vibe. I don't know. It's very, very strong and powerful. It was really a unique experience.
That's interesting. And we're speaking with H.W. Floyd. He's the Academy of United States Veterans Chairman of the Board of Governors, about the Veterans Awards, the Vetties, that took place this past Saturday here in Washington, D.C., with an amazing guest list. You had Montel Williams there. Mm-hmm. You had Academy Award nominee Shora Agdishlu, mm-hmm. Anne Heche, other members of her show, The Brave, that's mm-hmm. airing now, including some people that are playing basically United States Navy SEALs, who got to meet some SEALs like Eli Crane, who was there. Colton Smith was there, of course, UFC Ultimate Fighter champion, and still currently serving on active duty in the Army. Really an impressive guest list before you added in General Kelly and mm-hmm. Secretary Shulkin. But even with all of that, it's not really what the night was about. The night was about the Vetties, the mm-hmm. actual awards, and the organizations that are doing amazing things to help the veterans community. So let's talk about that aspect of the program, that aspect of the show. I mean, it's great. Everybody gets to hang out and have pizza with Anne Heche and everything. Mm-hmm. But the whole purpose was to recognize these organizations, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. And we're so glad to not only help bring recognition and some attention to these organizations that are doing great things, but also the people at these organizations that are doing great things, like Sarah from the Independence Fund that won the Leadership Award, and Dustin Perkins who won the Education, and George Chewing, and Stephen Vincent, and it was the, you know, it just goes on and on. You can't say enough great things about these individuals and these organizations.
What was the response from people? I'm sure there were some people who went there to like, oh man, I'm going to see Montel Williams. I'm going to hang out with him. But then to actually see the main event, which is these amazing organizations being recognized. What was the response from the crowd in attendance to the award winners as they were presented with their awards?
So the response was great. And there were so many great things that were announced on the cuff. So Montel, when he went up there, he was like, this is such a great event. You know, after seeing, going through a couple awards and just, you know, being the environment. And he said, made a pledge, and he said that next year he's going to ensure that at least one major media outlet covers these awards next year. So I think that right there speaks for itself to, you know, everyone's thoughts about the production and how everything went. It was really, really great. I think there was a really great balance of, you know, having videos being played and with people speaking. Some people went off the cuff a little bit, and I think if there was something to improve, I would definitely say, you know, maybe the speeches went a little bit long here and there. But
you don't say, a veteran who has a lot of things to say, no.
but you know, people were very excited, and they wanted to share their excitement and, you know, express things. So I mean, it's a great problem to have, you know.
Yeah. You're lucky I wasn't given any sort of award. If you're worried about the speeches being long, I'd start off. I was born on a cold November evening in the great state of Connecticut in 1979. And then from there, I would go through every point of my life. But one of the interesting things that we talked about a little bit with Eric Mitchell, he had mentioned that Montel said, you know, his goal is for the fourth annual Vetties to be nationally televised. Yeah. And where do you stand on that? Because for me, as I was saying earlier, I am tired of hearing Hollywood at awards ceremonies, and those are the award ceremonies we get. I don't want to hear a bunch of millionaires, Pat, oh, you were so good at pretending to be someone who you're not. You were great at that. These awards are about being who you are and standing up for what you believe in. How do you think we can increase the media focus on what the veteran community and things like the Vetties are doing?
So I think that the best way to increase it is for us to focus on ourselves and to bolster our own community. A lot of times, we as veterans sometimes complain a lot, you know. If you're not complaining, something isn't right. But more importantly, we need to remember that anybody can volunteer and do this. It takes somebody with this unique trait, a spark, to actually raise their hand and go forward and serve honorably. And we need to use that spark and that trait moving forward to bolster our own community. And just by staying tight-knit together and supporting our own, we're just going to naturally rise to the top, I think. So, and then when we do that, the media is just going to come to us because we're doing all these great things. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at all these great organizations that are helping our communities, our winners like Guardian Angel Service Dogs and Steve Vincent over at TAG and the Independence Fund. They're doing all these great things, but if we supported them more to get the word out, it would just blow up.
So. People knowing about it. You know how many things we've done here on this program and had people say like, oh man, that's so awesome. I'd never heard about it. And people have been doing it for years, in some cases over a decade, and just doing it kind of without any thanks, without any notoriety, just kind of going through it and doing what needed to be done because it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I really love the idea of people being recognized for those things and getting that press that might otherwise go to, you know, whatever Kim and Kanye's latest kid name is.
No, 100%. Our community's so weird because there's so many people doing great things, but it's like if you're not in that bubble there, then you're not really aware. And actually, story from the night. So Eli Crane, who owns Bottle Breachers, he was on Shark Tank doing phenomenal things, right? He had a special bottle breacher made for Montel, actually, that he brought to the awards, and he wanted to give it to him. And so someone came and got me, and they're like, hey, Eli has this bottle breacher he wants to give to Montel. And Montel was sitting at the same table with me. So they were like, where's he at? I was like, I'll go down and get him right now and we'll connect him. And so it was a little bit dark upstairs. Eli and I go up to the top and we go up to Montel, and Montel's kind of sitting like on the corner of right. like one of the banisters. And so he, it was like kind of like a half reach around, you know?
Yeah.
And so Eli gave it to him, and he was like, thank you. They took a quick picture together, and then Montel sat back down, and he was looking at it, and he was like, wait a minute, I know this. Where do I? And we're like, that's Eli Crane from Bottle Breachers and on Shark Tank. And he was like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's like, go tell him to come back. I got to talk to him. We got it. So, it, you know, I think that just kind of goes to it when you don't meet the person, you know, when you haven't met them in person and you're not consistently in that circle,
right.
you know, like you're unaware. But then, like, you see the product and you recognize the product, and then the face now goes with the product and the name. And you're like, it's like a light bulb goes off. So I think we need more of that in our community.
I totally agree. And I think that the Vetties are certainly a huge step in the right direction, and that there are so many people out there who want to recognize
yeah.
people doing great things for veterans and want to recognize and help the veteran community. But one of the other aspects that makes it difficult is getting a veteran to try and take any credit for something that they're doing
yeah.
or these veterans organizations, like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Hey, you saved 2,000 lives through your anti-suicide programs that you figured out this new way to do it. We'd like to let people know about that and get a little bit more of a spotlight on you. And you'll get these guys who are like, it's not really what I'm about. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of doing my thing. It's like, you got to do that. You got to do some of this outside stuff. Mm-hmm. So certainly very important. And we're speaking with H.W. Floyd. He is the chairman of the Board of Governors of the Academy of United States Veterans. They threw their big Vetties, third annual Vetties party this Saturday, the awards ceremony hosted by Jake Tapper of CNN. So, all right, we know that whether you agree with Jake on his political leanings or not, he's a good television host.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of good things for veterans. How was he as an event host this weekend?
He was amazing. And the thing about Jake that I love the most is his authenticity when it comes to his support and love for our community. And anyone who was in the room, who was there, who saw his acceptance speech, because he won the Veterans Choice Vetty, would agree 100%. He was literally speechless. And you could see, you know, sometimes when people say, oh, I don't have the words to express, like, he literally didn't. He was so humbled. And so gracious, and it was truly inspiring, you know, seeing him up there.
Him not having the words for it, that's because he's a TV guy. They need a teleprompter. Radio guys, we can always find the words. Sometimes too many words, but it was great to see him doing that. And again, such an amazing gathering out there. You know, what do you hope people that were able to attend the Vetties this weekend, what do you hope they take away from the overall experience?
The potential of our community. Seeing all these great Americans, these great patriots, these veterans getting together, and especially afterwards, seeing guys swapping ideas and seeing cards and, you know, information being passed, and people say, we got to get together. We have to, you know, make this happen. I think only great things are going to happen for our community in the future. And also, you know, being around these individuals and these celebrities who, you know, can help shed more light on everything that we're doing. It was just so great to see. There were so many great, like, little moments in the night, and I wish more people would have the opportunity, or hope more people have the opportunity in the future to come to the Vetties and have those little moments. There's so many great stories from the night.
And even if they're not able to attend, if Montel Williams stays true to his word, they'll be able to watch it on TV next year. So we'll see if we can. I think it's something that a lot of people would be interested in. I think it's something that there is certainly a market out there for. I mean, if they're willing to watch the same movie and TV mm-hmm. stars for 3 months in a row every weekend at mm-hmm. a different award ceremony, why wouldn't they be willing to watch something amazing like this with legitimate heroes and lifesavers mm-hmm. taking part in an event like this? So it makes perfect sense to me. Now, I want to ask you, HW, because you are a United States Marine, and of course, once a Marine, always a Marine.
Have you
seen the story about this Sergeant Major who's basically been removed from his post because fudging his record, basically, when it comes to ribbons, specifically when it comes to the combat action ribbon?
Is he a Marine?
He's a Marine. Yeah, Sergeant Major. Yeah.
He's active duty?
Active duty. Oh, yeah. Hold on. I need to find this because right now the website is acting up on us. He's been relieved. All right, here we go. Oh, no. You know what?
Oh, forget it. Never mind. I don't want to talk about this. It's old.
We had
the wrong date on it. But I mean, when you see things like that, and we've seen problems taking place in each branch of the service. We've mm-hmm. seen the Navy having a difficulty not crashing their ships into each other lately, which, you know, I was in for 13 years and we had a couple incidents, but you know, the biggest ones were like few and far between, like every mm-hmm. bunch of years in between them. Really, this year we've had, I think, three fairly serious collisions, including mm-hmm. two that led to significant loss of life. This story, it turns out, the date that we had on here was actually quite old. So this happened a while ago. Oh my goodness. We were talking about a story as if it happened yesterday, but happened like 3 years ago.
I mean, it happens quite regularly, unfortunately. And I think it's probably more of a problem with society because of the way that, and I guess this is a great, you know, connection to make with the vetties, is sometimes in the media, they propel our community in a direction that we're really not, you know, like the way that they portray us. And sometimes that affects our community in a sense where we think that we might have to have a combat action ribbon to be really validated as a veteran during the global war on terrorism. So that's why something like the Vetties is so great, because we can connect these individuals, these celebrities, with the people who've actually been there, done that. So when they are creating these films, TV shows, miniseries, whatever, they're actually portraying things correctly, you know, yeah. the way that they should be. So, I mean, it happens, and whether you're young or old, I think the Vetties is going to be something that's going to be sticking around for a long time.
Yeah.
So many great people in attendance who are joining. I'll give you another quick story. I'll try and do it really quickly. So Mark Rockefeller, the president and owner of
Street Shares
and VetBiz, he was there, and he brought his daughter. She was about, like, I think she's maybe 7 or 8. And so I was talking with Mark, and he was like, "This is my daughter. She was so cute. She had her dress on. She had the white gloves that came up.
Oh, yeah.
And she looked so cute." And she saw Shohei Aghdaleshi,
the Oscar nominee from House of Sand and Fog, stars on Sci-Fi's The Expanse, which is kind of a military-themed sci-fi show.
Yeah, yeah. And so she saw her, and she was like, "That's Elizabeth from The Nativity."
Oh, wow.
And she just lit up, and Mark was like, "Okay, well, let's get a picture with her." And they went on the carpet by the step and repeat and took, you know, with the banner and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They took a couple pictures, and then Shohei bent down and started talking to her. And then she picks up out her phone and gave her number, and they started texting right there on the red carpet. His amazing. Daughter, isn't that like cool?
That's it is.
And this little girl, you know, who
somebody that she recognized that, from off the screen,
off the screen. She loved her right away. They just connected immediately and just started chatting. Like, that's. Where else is something like that going to happen?
Really should have gone. I could have been texting with Shorag. Just like, in season 3, when it comes out later this year, because I think season 3 is coming out in a couple of months or something like that. Great show. Actually has a Marine Corps element to it that I think a lot of Marines might be interested in, where the Marine Corps is essentially on Mars. It's mm-hmm. kind of a battle between Earth, the colony on Mars, and people working out in an asteroid belt. It's hard sci-fi. It's like realistic. The physics are real, all that stuff. Yeah. They try to do a good job with it. And she plays the U.S. Ambassador, essentially, and she is amazing in it. But a fascinating story there, but not as fascinating as seeing that, you know, her interacting with Mark Rockefeller's daughter. That's a fantastic story to hear. So many great things. Sounds like a whole bunch of wonderful stories and connections were made at the Vetty Awards. And that's probably the best part of it, all the connections that'll come out of it. I mean, yeah, it's great. Everybody gets to go dress up, look nice, have a couple drinks, you know, hang out and have a good time. Again, pizza with Anne Heche. Who doesn't want pizza with Anne Heche, right? The fact that so many connections were made, how big do you think that is? That really the next big thing in the veteran community may come out of someone having met someone else at the Vetties this past Saturday.
You are 100% correct. 100%. It was even just overhearing a lot of the conversations, it was just truly amazing. And I think you hit the nail on the head with that. There's nothing else that I can say. You just said it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really so much greatness that comes out of just saying hello and introducing yourself to someone and having a chat. Some of the best interviews we've had on this show is just from bumping into someone. Some interviews that we haven't quite been able to set up got so mm-hmm. close with people like the former CNO, mm-hmm. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who it's interesting that, you know, okay, Admiral Mullen, when I was Petty Officer First Class Name and he was Admiral Mullen, our paths crossed once when he was a 2-star and mm-hmm. it was briefly like, hello, sir, yeah, shook my hand, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now here we are probably 15 years after that happened and we're able to have a conversation at an event in D.C. recently mm-hmm. when I saw him. And there are so many connections to be made in the veteran community. And truly, mm-hmm. the Vetty Awards was ground zero for a number of what I'm sure will turn out to be mm-hmm. important introductions, important conversations that took place while everybody was able to have a good time as well. I mean, it mm-hmm. seems like everybody comes up a winner there, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. It was a very great setting. And another great thing, too, is being able to, like you were saying, meeting with these people face-to-face. Sometimes when you are trying to make that connection or find the right person, you got to jump through so many hoops, go through so many different filters and layers. You can't actually get to the person and, you know, share the information. And the night was great for that. You know, it's one-on-one, right to the man. Hey, what are you doing? Let's talk about this. Okay, I got 5 minutes. And it was just really, really great. I'm really excited to see the fruits of the labor.
We've been speaking with H.W. Floyd. He is the chairman of the Board of Governors for the Academy.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore?
Not anymore. I was for this event. Travis McVeigh, the owner and founder of Heroes Vodka.
Yeah, we've had Travis on the show before. Well, we've been speaking to H.W. Floyd, former chairman of the Board of Governors for the Academy of United States Veterans. Now, if people want to find out more about the Academy of United States Veterans, of course, who do a lot more than just the Vetties, where can they go to do that?
AUSV.com, they can go there. And or just simply type in Vetties in a Google search. It'll be one of the first things that pop up.
Yeah, and the third annual Vetties are in the books, which means time to start looking forward to the fourth annual Vetties. We want to thank H.W. Floyd as well as Eric Mitchell and our own Jonathan Copehanger and Jake Hughes for joining us on the Morning Briefing today, kicking off the week in style. And of course, we'll be back just as much in style tomorrow for our Tuesday edition of the show every Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:30 Eastern and Pacific, right here. It's the Morning Briefing from Entercom's ConnectingVets.com, at Connecting Vets on social media. Hey, have a great, safe day. See you tomorrow.